Here we go. Oh, that's it. It's on mute. How are we doing? Good, good. So we're reading from Luke 4 today, so keep your Bibles open there if you want to. And we are following on from our series. We've been working through a series for a while about being saturated with God, and we've looked at different headers under what does it look like to be saturated with God. And today we're looking at anointing. What is it to carry the anointing of God, to be saturated with this anointing? And I just believe that the anointing is so important. It's so needed and it's so important. If we long to see revival, which I do, and I know most people in this church do, that we long to see the presence of God just fill our hearts and our land and in the only way that God can do it. If we long to live out these vision and values that we have, it's not just a pretty poster, but it's our heart's cry to see God do this in our day of every person and every place saturated with the presence of God. And if we're truly to live this out, we need his anointing. We need the presence of God to be amongst us. Arthur Wallace says about revival, about this anointing. He says, revival is such a manifested working of God that human personalities are overshadowed and human programs abandoned. It is a man or woman retiring into the background because God has taken the field, working in extraordinary power. Don't know about you, but I want to see God take the field. I am done with the days of famous Christians, and I long to see God take the field, for God to take the field of Loughton. What would that look like? For him to show up, for him to turn up, for him to touch us, for him to anoint us, for him to take the field. Leonard Ravenhill, if you haven't heard of him, he's on YouTube. If you haven't got a fire in your belly, listen to Leonard Ravenhill and you will leave with a fire in your belly for revival. And he says this, you never have to advertise a fire. Everybody comes running when there's a fire. Likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know about it. When the fire of the presence of the Holy Spirit is amongst us, we will not have to do a Twitter feed. That people will know that the Spirit of God is here. The anointing of God is upon that church. And I don't know about you, but I want to see that. I am done with people taking center stage, naming ministries after themselves. I want God to take the field. I want him to show up. And we need this anointing. We need to be people who are seeking after his presence more than ever. Because when he shows up, we see his kingdom show up. And his kingdom, when that's released, we see things that we can't do, that only he can do. So what is this anointing? What is it to be anointed with God? Well, we see in the Old Testament, to be anointed with God is to have some form of oil placed on you. And it was in the Old Testament, it's about anointing people for a certain task or for a certain office. We see kings, priests, and prophets often anointed. And we see a king in 1 Chronicles 29:22, where they acknowledge Solomon as a king. And they say this, that they ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord. Eating and drinking in the presence of God, and they acknowledged Solomon as the king, and they anointed him before the Lord. They set him apart to be king. We see priests are anointed. Aaron in Exodus 29:7, where they take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it over his head. And there's a psalm that talks about this as well, about the oil being poured over his head and dripping down the beard of Aaron. Just imagine that. Being anointed to be a priest for God. And then we see in Exodus 29:7 where, for the prophets in 1 Kings, we see Elijah has been asked by God to go and anoint Elisha as prophet. So we see time and time again in the Old Testament that God is setting people apart, certain people for certain tasks, and he's pouring oil over them to set them for this task, to anoint them to do this certain role that God is calling them to. So throughout the Old Testament, we see this anointing, but it's for certain people, for certain times. It's not yet an anointing that is for all. It's not yet an anointing that is to come upon a community, but it's coming upon individuals for certain tasks. And we see that this oil is the sign of that anointing. We see it in 1 Samuel where they anoint King David. It says this of that, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon David. To have the anointing of the oil was to have the presence and power of God to carry out a certain task. And then we see here in the New Testament, Jesus coming forward and saying that he is anointed. He has come out from the waters of baptism. He's gone into the desert place. And now he is showing up. They said he's returning in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he stands in that temple. And he says, I am anointed. The Lord has anointed me. He's anointed him to carry out a task. And I don't know about you, but that task is a pretty hefty one. As you say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is Jesus carrying out the prophecy of Isaiah 61, saying, I am the anointed one. I am the one anointed by God to carry out the things in which Isaiah prophesied about. And this anointing found in Jesus is not an anointing that stuck to Jesus himself. That he came amongst the earth as the Father sent the Son, so the Son sends the Spirit. He came amongst the earth, Jesus, to come and die for our sins, to be buried and to rise again and to go into heavenly places to reconcile us back with God. We know this. And then he sends his Holy Spirit that we all might be anointed. We see this throughout the Bible where Jesus says to the disciples, now prepare because you're going to see greater things. This isn't it. What you've just seen, there's more. But I'm leaving you. But you must wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So these disciples, what do? They wait and they seek God. They wait and they pray. They won't move an inch until they have the gift in which Jesus talked about. And what happens on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit pours out. And every person in that place who is seeking the face of God is filled with the Holy Spirit. Anointed to carry out the very kingdom work that Jesus was anointed to go and do. So the very thing that Jesus was anointed to in Luke 4 is the very thing that us, the church, are anointed to go and do. That we are anointed for works. We're not anointed so we can get on TV or get a little following. We're anointed to carry out the works in which Jesus was anointed for. We're anointed to proclaim the good news of Jesus. We need his anointing to do that. If we're really going to see us proclaim the good news in power and see people saved, we need the anointing of God. We need to know that his presence is amongst us. We need to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recovery of sight. This isn't just physical sight. This is spiritual sight. You cannot see the kingdom until you're of the kingdom. I can't do that. I need the anointing, the presence of God. Jesus couldn't do it without the anointing. Why do we think we can? Why do we think we can go about the Christian life without the very anointing of God upon us? Without the presence in our midst? 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, so that you will know all things. We have an anointing from the Holy One of God. God wants to pour it out, but he's not flippant with it. He's not going to pour it out willy-nilly. If he was, we'd be in revival. He's looking for people who will surrender their very lives for the anointing of God. Who will set their face for the things in which Jesus set his face for. For the good news. For the releasing of captives. That's why we need the anointing. So how do we walk in this anointing? I'm just going to give us a couple of pointers. There's lots of pointers, but these are just some of my thoughts for how to walk in this anointing, to walk under the presence of God. And the first is this, in this prophetic word that's been going around for a while, and I think God will keep speaking it until it happens. So sorry if you feel like they're on that again. But God is saying, wake up. Wake up. There's nothing worse than us not knowing that we need a deep awareness of the presence of God in our lives. There's nothing worse than a Christian going about the Christian life, sleepwalking into man-made things, not realizing that they have a deep groan for the very presence of God to come upon them. Wake up. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the streams of the water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We need to wake up that we need the living God. We need him. Like that psalmist, I pant after the living God. I'm fed up with, I need the living God. Are we thirsting after the very presence of God in our day? Because we need to wake up to this deep awareness that we need this presence of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it simply as this: when men and women are truly awakened, they realize that there is nothing more serious than to be without the presence of God. That when we're fully awakened to him, there's nothing more serious than to walk this life without the presence of God. We need him. We need him. And time again, I see this anointing come upon people who have this heart's cry, who have that cry of Jesus. I believe he stood in that synagogue, in that place, where his heart's cry was to see the captive set free. His heart cry was to see the gospel proclaimed. His heart's cry was to see people restored. That was his heart's cry. And as his heart's cry was that, what happened? He was anointed. I wonder, what is our cry? Do we have a cry upon our hearts? I see God anoint people when there's such a cry for justice in this land. Where they decide, I'm going to feed the hungry, God anoints that. When our heart's cry is groaning for something so bigger than ourselves and comes in line with what God is calling us to, in the advancing of his kingdom, he anoints you. When our heart's cry is so much more than, how can I have a comfortable life, Lord? When our heart's cry is, what about that sinner who needs saving? Lord, I would do anything. He will anoint you. I recently saw this a couple of years back, that me and Mark led a Friday church, and it was in the daytime for mums and toddlers. And we saw such an anointing come upon toddlers. Who would have thought it? And I remember Maya this one day broke her nose. This is Maya, by the way, safeguarding report like this. She broke her nose in nursery one day. She had black eyes. It was like, they said, I think it's broken. It's like this. I was like, yeah, I think it's broken. And me being a mum was just like, oh, I'm not great with blood of my children. I just can't concentrate. And I'm just thinking, I need to get this kid to hospital. And there's someone within the group who just longed to see miracles. Do you know these people that pray for you? Because are they praying for me, or do they just want to see a miracle so they can go back and report, saw a miracle? Yeah? We've met some of those, yeah. And so this person, that I'm going to pray for Maya, we want to see miracles, we want to report it back, you know, like the charismatic service on Friday, you're seeing miracles. And but yet there was this little boy called Max. who was 3 at the time, loved Maya. He'd become a Christian. His parents were new converts, and he'd learned about Jesus, and he just thought it was amazing that Jesus did all these things in the Bible. And he looked at Maya and he loved her. And he wanted to pray for Maya because he loved her. And he couldn't bear to see Maya in pain. Now I ask you, who do you think God anointed? God anointed Max. Maya's nose wasn't broken after that. Even the black eyes started to go down. She still asked for a day of nursery. She got it. But when we set our face, when we have that cry of our hearts that we can't bear to see people in pain, we can't bear to see people who aren't saved, then God will pour his anointing upon us. If we're seeking after miracles, if we're seeking after a whooshing whirlwind, then God's not going to anoint that. It might not be the anointing of God. But when we seek after him, when our hearts cry because we can't bear to see the captive not set free, he will anoint our hearts. And throughout the Bible, we see people who have this cry after God, and God anoints them. In Jeremiah, there's this, he sets his heart to God. He sets his own heart to God. Nehemiah is the same, that he's overcome with grief, yet he sets his heart to God. He knows he needs the anointing of God. We've got to be people who can't bear to do life without him, who can't bear to go into any kind of promised place without the very presence of God. And we see this in Exodus 33, where God tells Moses, you can take these people, you can go into the promised land, there will be milk and honey, and there will be lots of blessings, and I'm going to send an angel with you to guide you and be with you. But what does Moses say? He kneels and he prays and he says, if you're not going, Lord, we're not going. There might be everything we thought there would be, but if you're not there, better is a place, a desert place with God than a promised land without you. We need to be people who can't bear to do anything without the presence of God, without the anointing of him upon our lives. John 7:38 said, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. As scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from their hearts. Anybody can come and drink of this living water. But it's costly. It's costly to seek after the anointing. He's not just going to give it. He wants to know that you want him. And you want the working out of his kingdom. So we need people who have a costly life that lives after intimacy. The cost of this anointing is to live a life shaped around intimacy with our Father. To have a whole life shaped around prayer, around worship, around reading the Word. I know you think, oh, they're on that again. It's really that simple. If it's more complicated than that, maybe it's not the way. It's so simple to live an intimate life with God. But we need to be people who say no to certain things and yes to him. Jesus, when he was tempted for 40 days, he was promised everything by the devil. You can have fame. You can have signs and wonders. You can see miracles. But Jesus is not, but he's not God. He's not my Father. He resisted that. He wanted intimacy with his Father. And we too need to take the cost of the anointing. And that's to walk the way of intimacy. To walk the way of worship. To walk the way of prayer. To walk the way of the Word. There's no shortcuts to an anointing. It's found in intimacy with him. And it's costly. It might cost your Friday night. It might cost your early mornings. It might cost, I don't know what it'll cost you. Only you can work that out with your Lord. But it's costly. But we need it. We want to see signs and wonders. We want to see all these things. We need to walk the route of intimacy. Psalm 105 says, seek his face always. Psalm 27, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. We just want to be people that want to seek his face. There's no greater reward than him, than intimacy with our Father in heaven. The other cost is a life of radical holiness. Don't talk about this much, do we? Holiness. Radical holiness is costly. Psalm 24 says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or surrendered by a false god, they will receive a blessing from the Lord. Do we have clean hands and pure hearts today? A revival broke out from that simple question. Do we have clean hands and pure hearts? Are we living the road of holiness before him? Are we living our lives pure and holy before God? Are we setting our lives apart to live his ways, his holy ways? And holiness, may I say, is not being perfect. Not from memorizing every prayer or anything like that. But holiness is something in which Jesus won on the cross for us. We were saved. We have salvation, and through the blood of the Lamb and through the presence of his Holy Spirit, we have holiness. He has made us pure. He has made us holy, and we have a choice to remain in that holiness, to walk the way of holiness, or to turn our backs and walk another way. Are we willing to take the cost of living holy before him? Gypsy Smith, when answering the question, how do you have revival? Gypsy Smith replied, kneel down with a piece of chalk and draw a complete circle around you and pray to God to send revival on everything inside that circle and stay there until he answers and you will see revival. If we want to see revival, if we want to see this anointing of God, we need to draw a circle around ourselves and say, God, send your spirit upon me. Purify this heart. We need to keep short accounts with God. It's beautiful that he doesn't ask us to be perfect, but he does ask us to be repentive, that we need to repent, we need to confess, and we need to set our face afresh upon him. And he will pour his spirit out, and he will help us walk in his ways. And he will ask us to walk in the costliness of holiness. To walk in his way. It says in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit whom you were sealed with for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We upset the Holy Spirit. I've heard it explained like this before about carrying the presence of God is like that dove of baptism coming down upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the dove. Now walk in your life with this dove sitting on your shoulder, who at any point could fly off. You would walk differently, wouldn't you? Have you ever walked with something you didn't want to go away? We had a cat once. It was really twitchy. I remember we come for a cuddle once. So I walked with it. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this cat wants a cuddle. Are we like that with the Holy Spirit? Do we walk our lives in such a way that we want the Holy Spirit to remain? We want the Holy Spirit to stay. It's to walk the way of holiness. It's to walk the way in which God has set out before us in the Bible. Joshua 3:3 says, consecrate yourself for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. If we want the Lord to do amazing things, we need to set ourselves to holiness. We need to ask for his spirit to be upon us, to burn up the sin upon our lives, that we might walk the way that he wants us to walk, to get rid of all the gossip. The Holy Spirit hates gossip. Do you know gossip is likened in the Bible to witchcraft? That when we gossip, it sets a spiritual atmosphere that is similar to witchcraft. Let's get rid of all the gossip. Let's get rid of all the slander. Let's get rid of all the adultery, all the drunkenness, or whatever we might carry in our lives. Let's get rid of it. Because it is nothing like the worthiness of that anointing of God coming upon our lives. There's nothing like it. There's a cost, and are we willing to take it? And then finally, to have the anointing is to glorify him. To have the anointing, once, like I've said before, isn't about building us. Isn't about St. Mary's becoming woohoo. It's about Jesus. It's about glorifying him. Jesus himself said, Father, glorify your name, in John 12. Father, glorify your name. That's all Jesus wanted, was the Father glorified. So we too must be people that the only thing we want from the sending of the Holy Spirit upon our lives is for him to be glorified, for him to show up in every salvation, for him to show up in every healing, for him to show up in every captive set free, for him to show up in every home that we help and every heart that we feed, is that it will glorify Jesus, that his anointing is upon us because people will see him. But we need to be people who bring glory to him. So I want to ask us today, do we want his anointing? Not sure. Do we want his presence? Because when this anointing shows up, you won't be able to live again without it. So we need to wake up to this reality that we need it. That we cannot survive without it. We cannot walk into anything in which Jesus walked into without the very presence of God upon our lives. John Wesley, famous quote. He was asked, what is your secret? Why do so many people come to hear you preach? He said this, I get alone with God in prayer, and then he sets me on fire. And then the people come out to watch me burn. Are we willing to get alone with God? To wake up to the reality that we need him? To recognize that we're not living a holy way? To set our face to all the things that Jesus set his face to? And to glorify his name? Are we willing for his spirit to set us on fire? That people won't just come to watch us, but will come to watch the fire of God burn in a flame in our nation. I want to see that. Shall we ask for this anointing? Mark, do you want to come and worship? There was a picture that showed up in 8:45, and I've been seeing this picture in my mind for a while. And as I was preparing to get up and talk at 8:45, like any preacher, it's, dear God, please show up. And I was sitting there waiting, and I was just asking God, please show up for these people. And as I looked, I saw a massive dove covering the whole of this area, just hovering. And I just knew one flap of those wings and the presence of God would whoosh through this place. And I truly believe that there's a word today, that it's now. To set your face now. The dove is waiting. His spirit is wanting to anoint. He's wanting to pour himself out to people. But he's waiting for us to take the cost, to come before him and say, anoint me for the task in which you set before me. So we're going to worship. I want to encourage you. There's going to be a couple of us up the front here And we want to anoint people with oil today. Don't worry, you're not going to be anointed to be a king or anything like that. The oil is now represented by the Spirit. Once anointed by oil, now anointed by the Spirit. So we would love to anoint people today who have that heart's cry that I was talking about, or who want to wake up and have that cry. Then I want to encourage you, me and Malcolm will be hovering around, won't we? Like good vicars. And we would love to anoint you this morning throughout this final piece of worship. But also I want to encourage you to take some time and to ask for that anointing afresh. To have that heart's cry upon your life again. Because when we're anointed by him, oh, you can't go back. I've felt that anointing. And it's rubbish without it. So we need to be people of the anointing of God. So shall we pray? God, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for how Jesus said that you have anointed me. And I thank you, Jesus, that you never keep anything to yourself, but you wanted an anointed church. You wanted an anointed bride that goes forth into this land, declaring and proclaiming and moving in such a way that you move, Jesus. And we just want to simply say, Lord, we're not seeing it. We want to see more. And we know that just like you, Jesus, need the anointing, so do we. So, Father, I pray that you will set fires upon people's hearts today. Father, may we never operate again without your anointing, without your presence. May we not be sleepwalking into some kind of secondhand whatever, but may we be walking wide-eyed into your presence. Father, we're sorry for when we thought we could do it without you. We were wrong. We say we can only do it with you. And Father, I pray that you will give us hearts like Max, that will love people to a point where their heart is crying out for you to move. So Father, I pray that you will descend upon us a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart of justice, a heart of salvation, Lord. We pray for more of your heart to be upon us. Not so we can build our ministry, but so that you may be known. So, Father, we pray for that picture of the dove. We pray that you will flap those wings this morning, that we will see the breath of your Spirit come through this place this morning, Lord God. And I pray for every heart that is saying, I want that anointing. I pray that you would descend upon them, that you would teach them a way that they would never be able to go back. Father, may we be an intimate bride, full of you, seeking after you. Father, we long to be a church ablaze with you. Come, Jesus. Lord Jesus.